This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Good evening, Wolves fans. As I said to Luke and Gully, I mean, that fell of a move tonight. I've not even introduced our usual intro music and the little Steve Ball video that goes to it, because I don't know about you guys, I'm absolutely fuming. As I mentioned, I've got with me Gully and Luke. Guys, where do we start with that tonight? It's 2 wins in 15 now, if you include last season, and just doesn't seem to be any sort of light at the end of the tunnel. Diego Costa made his first appearance for Wolves tonight, but Gully, just give me a brief thoughts on a scale of 1 to 10. How angry are you at the moment?
I think I'm not angry necessarily. I think I've just reached the end of my level of acceptance of what we've been seeing. I think I'm at the point where it's just like, okay, yeah, Bruno's had his run now. It's too repetitive, too familiar. You can see the pattern of a game play itself out, you know, almost from the first 5 minutes. You know, we start nicely, we keep the ball, you know, we do all the lovely things in between the boxes that we've been doing all season, and then we basically shit ourselves, you know, on the approach to the penalty area. And I mean, to be honest, I think we were a little bit unfortunate with the two goals we conceded in terms of the way they actually came about. But that sort of stuff happens to you when you're not looking likely to score a goal at the other end. So, yeah, it's just that I've reached that stage now where it's a bit apathy rather than anger now. So, yeah, let's move on.
What about yourself, Luke?
Similar to Gully, like, I won't say I'm angry. It's just like, meh, same old Wolves, same shit. I mean, if I can try and take a couple of positives from today, Costa looked all right, and you know, I think he may benefit from how we want to play, but even still, it's just so flat. The tempo so flat. Like today, so many unforced errors. I thought Moutinho was shocking. The amount of times it gave the ball away cheaply today. And it just looked like a team that were devoid of ideas. And I just don't see where it's going to change with this current regime. Do they trust Bruno enough? Are they listening to what he's saying? Have they got that respect for him? I don't know. I feel like he's just reached the end of the road. I mean,
let's just have a look at how we started up today. I mean, that looks like an absolute mismatch of a formation. But Gully, you're our resident tactician. How did you believe we were set up from the start? I had us down in some sort of 4-4-2, 3-5-2. Just talk us through it.
Yeah, it was kind of a 4-4-2 come 3-4-3 in the sense that Johnny was a tucked in kind of centre half. Aitnori was able to get forward and bomb on a little bit. Neto stayed high, but Semedo was also kind of playing as a almost like a wide midfielder, like an old fashioned type that you'd see in front of a fullback from like the 90s almost. And it was just like a lopsided shape. I didn't really see what the thinking was either, other than Neves and Johnny. They did well in this kind of system against Man City, I think, when they played out from the back. And that was probably what led Bruno to go with that shape. Now, playing with 10 men against Manchester City is one thing, but going out and setting up that way to kind of go and beat West Ham is just a bit, it smacked of a little bit of, I don't know, unsure of where we should be going with this. West Ham are bad. Let's not beat around the bush. Yeah. Even after today's game, I don't think West Ham are a good team. And we're allowing teams with, you know, central midfield plodders like Thomas Suchek. Yeah, I know he had a bit of a run a couple of seasons ago with scoring goals and stuff like that. Just the most average central midfielder I've seen in a while. As a you know, Premier League player. And you saw it in the way that we played around them in midfield. Even Declan Rice, you know, was chasing shadows for a lot of it. And I still don't think we're a bad team. We're not a bad team. There are certain signs of a bad team that you see, which I think are, you know, incessant kind of individual mistakes, getting played around, getting cut open all the time. None of that really happened today. There was just a a total lack of confidence in us going forward that, you know, is really just totally hamstringing us at the moment. And that system in shape didn't look to get the best out of anyone. I think that's the bottom line.
Bruno Lage came out after the match and has made comments about having Neves in at centre half allowed us to dominate the game, and he was happy with how the first 30 minutes went. What was your sort of feelings on how we fared in the first half, Luke?
It's a strange one because it's not like we played absolutely terrible today. You know, we've had chances. There were some good passages of play, but I just think with the shape and the system today, I don't think anyone truly knew exactly what they were supposed to be doing. It was sort of three or four formations within 90 minutes, it felt like today. Which held us back. I mean, I don't know about dominating the game like Bruno's apparently said, but it wasn't a terrible performance. But I think as soon as West Ham got the goal, we don't look like a team that's got two goals in us. And I think that's the concern, that once we go a goal down, you can pretty much write the game off.
We did look void of ideas throughout again, didn't we? But we've had this conversation before. You take these guys to the side. Neto, Podence, Guedes, Hwang, Adama, Trinkau. These are not prolific scorers, are they? Obviously, Guedes had a bit of a purple patch last season for Valencia, but we're getting in good wide areas. We're keeping the ball nicely, but like I just said, we're just completely void of ideas. And without sort of going into too much of just shouting Lage out until it happens, where do we go from here, Gully?
I mean, I'll probably keep coming back to that point. That's the problem at this point. He doesn't look like he's able to kind of cajole the attacking players in particular into, you know, a period of confidence. I think the problem is the only one that I see playing with any degree of confidence is Podence. You know, you always notice him trying little things in and around the penalty area. That's his game. And I like him. You know, he'll crack a shot off. He had a few decent efforts from distance and stuff, but he's got nothing to bounce off whatsoever until Costa came on. You know, Guedes and Neto, so unsure of themselves whenever they get the ball. Obviously, Neto going off injured. It's an interesting one because he was kind of the great hope of many people at the start of the season. But whilst I'm disappointed that he's injured in the sense that we lose another body, I'm not that disappointed in the sense that it's Neto. You know, it could have been anybody that got injured. I'd have been at the same level of, you know, shit, that's not good because it's a forward player that we could do with having. But he's not played well enough anyway. But I just think, I mean, I personally, having watched this team so far this season, I don't think there's that many better teams than us between the two penalty areas. We're really, really good at keeping the ball. We're really good at breaking into the second third, approach the final third. But it just goes to shit to such an extent because our players aren't confident. You know, that one situation where the ball landed at Rand's feet, at the Ryan Aitnuri's feet in the first half, and he tried to like kind of dink it back towards the middle of the penalty area when the only option really was a shot. Like, let's be fair, there was nothing really to kind of feed it back into, but it was a good situation to get a shot off. And you just saw what he did. And like, that's everything in a nutshell. You know, everyone passing the buck onto each other, everyone sitting there thinking someone else should take responsibility. You know, I'd say again, other than Podence, you know, everyone looking around at each other to say like, well, someone needs to kind of pull a rabbit out of a hat. And everything has to be perfect if we're going to score a goal with this team in this shape. And we're just nowhere near playing that level of football.
Look, Gully's singling out Podence there, but one player I really want to bring to the forefront who I feel's going under the radar for underperforming is Matheus Nunes. What was your thoughts on his performance tonight?
I thought he looked okay in spells, average in other spells, probably just a 5 or a 6 out of 10. I mean, you do want to see a bit more from him. But again, I don't think the shape has helped anyone today. You know, I've seen good out Matinho. earlier. But again, as the shape that we've set up with today helps anyone out in that situation, because I don't feel like the players knew the game plan today, because it felt like there wasn't really much of one. So, yeah, Nunes, slightly disappointing. I think Gully hit the nail on the head with the Ait Nouri chance when he was talking about confidence earlier. You know, because a confident player, he's putting his boot through that, isn't he? And he's putting it across the keeper into the bottom corner, you'd like to think and hope. And it was such a weak pass back as well. Like, it was just to nobody. And I think that just sums us up at the minute.
Do you remember his goal on his debut against Palace? You know, that was kind of that similar situation. Struck that so nicely across the keeper. And yet you think, if that's what he's capable of, you'd kind of head back to that kind of muscle memory and do that again.
Because it needed pretty much exactly the same technique as that Palace goal, apart from the bounce might have been a little bit higher. Again, the only positive I can take is that when Costa was playing through the middle, it just offered us a little bit more. I was actually quite impressed with Costa. I thought he had a really, really good cameo when he came on. And he looks like he can actually make a difference. And more importantly, he looks like he wants to make a difference as well. Because sometimes, you know, you get these players coming in, especially when there's question marks around the fitness, and you're thinking, well, what Costa are you getting? You know, how long has it been since he was at Chelsea? 7 seasons? Has it been that long? 6, 7 seasons? You know, he's aged. You know, he's not in the same physical condition he was all those years ago, but he looks like he's here to play and not just collect a paycheck, which it's not going to be Bruno's saving grace, because he's going to get sacked, ain't he? Let's be honest, he's going to get sacked. But moving forward from a team point of view, that's one positive I think we can take moving forward, that we've actually got a focal point now, because as good as Pedence or Guedes or Neto may be individually, you can't play any of those three through the middle. What Premier League centre-half pairing are going to think, fuck it, we're up against Pedence through the middle as a false nine this week? Just offers us nothing. And that's not just singling out Pedence, you know, it could be any of them. Could be Neto, could be Guedes. That's just not the position for them. And I think it holds us back as a team as well, ultimately. It kills us.
Let's go back to the first half, because obviously I've already mentioned that Bruno Lage says he was happy with the first half an hour. He felt Neves was helping us dominate possession. They had a few little half chances, maybe. Scamacca just missed one after Jose Sarr fumbled. But what was your thoughts on the goal, Gully? Anything that could have been done to stop it?
I think there was Jared Bowen seemed to pick up the ball in that situation a few times where Ran had probably made a run forward. We'd lost the ball on the odd occasion that we had. But, you know, Bowen's the kind of player, if you give him a bit of space, he's likely to make something of it. And while we kind of snuffed that out, I mean, it showed the value of having a proper striker on the pitch, that goal, for me. Because, he was deadly. You know, Scamacca, he's obviously got a good goal record back in Italy. He's come with a big price tag. But, you know, the ball landing at his feet, him having a strike at goal, and he's put it away. It's just clinical. And he didn't really have a particularly great game, I don't think. And considering he was up against Ruben Neves as a centre-half, you'd expect him to dominate a little bit more physically. But, you know, even when the ball was coming up to him, Neves wasn't winning it clean. You know, second balls were landing at West Ham players' feet in dangerous areas. And it was just, you know, and Bruno kept saying after the game, like, We're a different team when we've got a striker in it. And it's like, well, if you'd have started with one, you don't know where you are, because this team ain't going to come back from a goal down. We're just not. But if you're a goal up and you give us something to hang on to, we're likely to keep a clean sheet. So I think he's probably made the wrong decision. And Scamacca kind of showed what you can do with having a proper striker up top, for me.
Obviously, we're filtering from the hindsight stream here, Luke, but apart from starting Diego Costa tonight, what else could Bruno Lage have done with that starting lineup for you?
I think he could have played Totti. That's who I would have gone with personally. I would have kept the shape of the formation the same. I know some people aren't too happy with like the 4-3-3 or the three in midfield.
Let me jump in. So who are you dropping from the midfield centre? Moutinho?
Yeah. Again, I thought it was poor again. I thought it was really, really poor today. But, I mean, if you played the 4-3-3, you know, Semedo, Kilman, Totti, Ran, you can still keep Neves, Moutinho, Nunes in the middle.
I was quite hoping, with it being an instant reaction tonight, that we'd get a few West Ham fans. And Sofian Atab has said, West Ham fan here, I thought Wolves played well, were just toothless. Surely sacking Lage would be harsh. And then his second comment was about how he saw us play against Tottenham this season, felt our performances were good in both games and we deserved more.
I think toothless is the right word. In the final third, we are pathetic. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
This is me not trying to defend Bruno, but has he had disastrous luck with his striker situation?
No.
He's had a bit of bad luck. I don't think it's disastrous, though.
He decided to loan out Fabio Silva and risk it once again. How many seasons have we been risking it with the centre-forward situation now? You know, it's 3, maybe even 4 seasons. He loaned out Fabio Silva. As a professional football coach, he should know that he's finished. Raul is finished. He should know that. And then we brought in Costa out of desperation. We haven't got Costa out of...
It stinks of desperation. I said this the other week. If Diego Costa was available in the summer, why didn't we go for him then? Because we're desperate. The guy hasn't played a competitive game since November. The guy is 34 years old.
Okay, you've got to cut him a bit of slack there. Our new centre forward does his MCL or ACL on his debut. You can't legislate for that.
No, you can't, Gully. But for a recruitment team that have been so tight with money in recent years, why have they decided to spend 18 million or whatever it is on Sasha with Sasha's injury record when there's a striker like Diego Costa already there, out there available, which now is an option because you've had to be forced into that option?
Because I think Sasha was the right way to go. You do a medical, you do due diligence. We all know how rigorous these kind of procedures are at the moment. Now, I think people talk about passing and failing medicals as if, like, there's a failure, you just rule it out. We don't know, obviously, the results of whatever Sasha's medical came up with. There could have been a red flag there. There might not have been a red flag there. But we still went ahead with the transfer. They obviously thought there was enough information to hand that suggested he was going to be able to contribute successfully for us this season. Right, he'd started the season playing games in Germany. Lest we forget, played 3 games already by the time he joined us, I think. So it wasn't like he'd come off like Costa, a period of inactivity or an injury in recent times that said, you know what, is it a bit more of a risk, right? I think that is flat out bad luck, right? Now, obviously, we were in a desperate situation, so Diego Costa comes in. I think, you know, that cameo today suggested to me he'd have been fine from the start. I think it'd have been all right, you know, because especially in the type of game it was a slow tempo game. It wasn't the kind of, you know, 100 miles an hour back and forth that you were going to do many times in the Premier League. You could build methodical with our passing and stuff. So all he had to do was link up a little bit, get in the box, get on the end of stuff. I think Bruno has missed a trick there. And like I say, we've had 2 weeks to plan for this game. We had 2 weeks to think about Nathan Collins missing the next 3 games. What the selection told me today was that we're thinking about going in with that shape and system against Chelsea next week and probably the week after against Forest. And that when I first saw the lineup, that's what I was a bit like, 2 weeks of work has led us to this point. It felt a little bit off. You know, especially when you're Toti Gomez, who's played enough games and we've seen enough of to suggest he can play at this level, he can handle it. You know, I like him. Now, there's an argument possibly that, Neves being in the back 3, Johnny being in the back 3, they're going to keep the ball better. You know, we're going to be able to dominate the play. But fundamentally, I think Totti's pace, team playing the front foot a little bit, higher line, and you might actually create a hell of a lot more off the back of that, especially against a West Ham team who aren't playing well. They're not a good team. You know, they're in the same boat as us. I hate the idea of us going into a game against a team who is average and just letting them work their way into a game. And that's what we did again, basically.
That's one of the biggest frustrations tonight, because West Ham were there for the taking, weren't they, Luke?
They've not won at Arm all season. You know, it's not like they're in fantastic away form either. They're down the bottom of the table for a reason, just like we are. And like Goody mentioned right at the beginning of the show, they're not a good team. They are really not a good team. Because a good team hurts us tonight with our lack of confidence and our shape and system being all over the place. You know, we play a good team and we get absolutely pulled apart tonight. But West Ham couldn't do that. And, you know, I think Bruno was a bit over the top by saying we dominated the first half. But, you know, like, we were still in that game. It's just that in the final third, we're just pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And if you're not going to score goals, you're never going to win games. So how many goals have we scored now this season?
Three. Connor Cody's one behind us in the league now.
You know what I mean? Games in now?
We had one disallowed.
That's my only sort of positive that I can take from tonight, Gully, is that with the patch on the pitch that Costa had, him and Podence looked like they could build a combination. You mentioned Hazard and Costa on the previous show the other day, which we could only dream they could reach half that sort of level. Mm. But having Costa on the pitch did give us a different element, which Bruno has been reiterating daily, which is he needs until, was it November, he said? I just don't feel he's got that much time left to... He's not going to survive October at the moment, is he? He could be sacked right now, and I'm not even aware of it because I'm not getting... I've got about 8% battery on my phone. I'm talking to you two guys. He could be gone now for all I know.
If anybody
I've got John Devereaux on the comments saying Percy from Telegraph. So if you're telling us there's some news, drop it in the comments. If you want Bruno Lage to be sacked, drop a like in the bottom left. If you want Bruno Lage to have a little bit more time, drop a like in the bottom left.
Honestly, going back to the Costa thing, though, I think people assume he's just going to turn up and be a battering ram, you know, and just rough up a few centre-halves and stuff like that. He did nothing like that today, but his link-up play, I think he's a much better technician than people will have you believe. If you watch, like you say, the link-up with Eden Hazard from his kind of glory years at Chelsea, he's a much better player with the ball at his feet than people give him credit for. Probably a better player than someone like Kaladzic would be, I would suspect as well. Yeah. So,
Sorry to jump in, Gully. John Percy from The Telegraph has tweeted saying that the Wolves board are considering the future of Bruno Lage. One win from the last 15 Premier League matches, three goals scored this season. Lage's position is in major doubt. I mean, we all know John Percy's a tier one journalist, but it doesn't take a brainiac to know that Bruno Lage is in trouble, isn't he?
He's in big, big trouble. We go to Chelsea next.
I'm sorry to keep pointing. There's so many daggers you can throw in Bruno Lage's back, but the fact that we've spent over £100 million this summer, we've had one suspension, and we've had to crowbar Ruben Neves in defence. Connor Cody is one league goal behind us. If they're not considering his future, they must be trying to run us into the ground so they can sell us on quickly. Gully, what was you about to say?
I mean, I always think back to those first three games of Bruno's reign, you know, when we were flying at teams on the attack, on the front foot, and we lost them all 1-0, undeservedly, every single one. And he shat the bed a bit, didn't he, I think? I think, honestly, if we'd have carried on the way we were, we'd have picked up points in a hell of a lot of games that we didn't last season. And it might have all gone a little bit, you know, mid-table-y. You know, we would have been hitting and missing every week and stuff like that. We probably would have ended up where we ended up anyway, you know, something like 10th last season. But we'd have all felt so much better about it. And going into, you know, a new season, thinking, you know what, this is a team that players are going to want to come and play for. Yeah, players like Nunes coming in will think, you know what, there's a bit to work with here. We all just kind of coasted into the end of the season, not having a clue how things were going to go. And yes, there was a formation change. And yes, there's been a bit of upheaval with players and Connor Cody and the likes leaving, and the, you know, almost like a bit of a revolution within the playing staff and stuff. But if that then doesn't trigger the response, then nothing is going to now at this point. I think he's just not that kind of character to go out and, you know, really motivate a group of players to produce at this point. You know, he's not going to come back from this, so why delay it any longer? I think
just do it now, get it done.
There's more social media posts coming out at the moment. Bruno Lage has issued an apology to the Wolves fans and says he will speak to the players about not approaching the away end after the game. Says he has felt pressure since day one and also expects Pedro Neto's injury to be a bad one. I mean, we all saw the clips. Pedro Neto, excuse me, clearly said to Bruno Lage the word no. I'm not sure whether it was Bruno Lage asking him, are you okay? Do you want to come off, or are you okay to carry on? You could see right from the start and the amount of time that Pedro Neto was down on the ground that it wasn't one he could run off. So for him to be risked was another case of Bruno really just struggling to know what his, well, to know his players, really. I mean, we had the situation with Kalajdzic where he was told to continue, and look how that ended up. It's losing Pedro Neto, which could be another considerable time on the sideline after his previous injuries, is disastrous, isn't it, Luke?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know Neto hasn't had the best start to the season, but he's still one of our most dangerous players. It is concerning because the tackle, it looks so soft,
yeah,
in it.
Yeah.
It's like he's made out of sugar paper sometimes when you look at Neto. But it will be a loss, you know. We need all the help we can get at the minute going forward. But, you know, again, you got to looking at Bruno, he asked Sasha to play on, he's asked Pedro to play on when clearly they can't. Like Goody says, does he even know his own players? It's not looking good, bruv. It's really not looking good.
One of the main sort of questions that is obviously going around every Wolves WhatsApp group across the globe is that if Wolves do sack Bruno Lage, who's the guy to come in? And I'm not even going to acknowledge Stu's getting pelters on Twitter for his Sean Dyche idiocy, and I'm not going to buy into that. I just think Sean Dyche is not the way forward. It's really not the way forward. If you're on that sort of boat, chuck me over and drain me, because I can't stay on that boat with you. It's got disaster written all over it. Gully, give me your thoughts on what sort of manager we could be looking at. Julian Lopetegui's again lost this evening for Seville and was Fausen's original choice.
I mean, Lopetegui has decent track record. He's probably the level of manager we should be looking at. You know, he's got a good level of experience in Europe and a good standard of club. Alan Kirbishley is available to be.
Alan Kirbishley 16-1 for every job going in.
The regular names I'm hearing in WhatsApp groups is obviously Andre Villas-Boas, who hasn't had I think the Queen's done more jobs than Andre Villas-Boas in the last however many years. People are talking about Pochettino. I'm not even sure whether Pochettino is even feasible. I don't think it is.
Like elite, absolute, you know, top tier wish list, isn't he? But I think he was getting close to the Nice job, maybe. From the last I read. But I mean, second to him would be Ruben Amorim from Sporting for me. I think he'd be a genius addition. I think we're so far in on the Portuguese kind of influx into the playing squad, it wouldn't make sense for us to step away from it in terms of a management decision at this point. Or at least someone who has managed, you know, Lopetegui has a history in Porto and has worked with some of these players before and stuff. So yeah, that one kind of lends itself to being the next man in charge. But ultimately, it's difficult in the middle of a season, isn't it? It's difficult to go out unless you're going to... I mean, managers are getting some serious release clauses these days. We all saw what it took Chelsea to prize Graham Potter away from Brighton. But... Yeah, I think Amorim would be quite similar at Sporting if we were to go in for him. But I don't know. It's an interesting time. We just can't let this group go to waste, because they're seriously in danger of, you know, just having a bit of a meander of a season and then us losing some seriously good players, which would be a travesty.
Does it need to be a big name, Luke, to take control of these players, or could another up and coming manager like how Brighton have done it this week with Zerbe?
No, I don't think it does need to be a big name, but it needs to be a big personality. I don't think Bruno's personality is big enough for the dressing room, personally. Somebody who I would potentially look at, and I will get pelted for this one probably, but if you were to get sacked, I think there's worse managers than Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah. I think you're right in the sense that teams play attractive football. He's a good times manager in the sense that, you know, when his teams are playing well, he's great. Again, like most managers, he's probably come to the end of his natural time at Leicester now. That doesn't mean he can't come into a job, do well at Wolves, you know, because it's a fresh group and it's fresh ideas and stuff that can change
it. Maybe just a bit of a left field one, Rodgers. I've said AVB for about 2 or 3 years, but I don't think he's worked since I first spoke about him. I think when we was discussing Nuno out, AVB would have been for me. I think he's done good work at his previous clubs. But whoever Uncle Jorge gives us, that's who it's going to be, ain't it?
Uncle Jorge managed to kidnap Mateus Nunes. Can he kidnap Jose Mourinho? That's a question I'd like to see. I know Gunny would absolutely hate Mourinho here, but in a parallel universe, I'd walk to Manny Pedalsing's walking to Chelsea next week for Dementia UK. I'm willing to walk to Rome to get Mourinho if that's a possibility.
Mourinho would just be the ultimate, but that's never gonna happen.
You just know it all ended in tears though, man. I'm sorry. Like, I don't give a shit what he does for 18 months. As soon as that 18 months is over, it's all gonna spiral out of control.
Yeah, but it'll
but I feel fun. That's where we are as a club now, Gully, is that I'm that sort of deflated with Wolves that I don't even want to spare tears on this team at the moment, because they're not even making me angry anymore. They're just constantly making me disappointed. And I think that's all down to Bruno. I don't think he's ever built a bond with the fans. The football that we've played is just not really likeable. Is it? I'm not sure about you two guys. I'm from the sort of Wolves fan mindset where I just want two out and out wingers just lumping balls into a striker for 80% of the game. It's all right keeping the ball for like 60% possession for the game, but if you're not testing the keeper, I mean, did we test Fabianski today? I think Johnny or Samado had a shot from outside the box which he parried. Adama ballooned over twice. Diego Costa should score with that one header, but did we really test Fabianski tonight?
Not really. But you sound like you'd love Sean Dyche.
It's fucking hell. I just can't. I think it's a disaster. I think we still need to be going down some sort of a guy who's managed in Europe. I know Sean Dyche is managed in Europe. But I think we need a good level of...
There's good managers. I mean, I always come back to classic case. Graham Potter would have been my ultimate, you know, man in charge. That he would have been the dream for me. And he came out of nowhere, you know, Östersunds, you know, there's people with good ideas all over Europe. We're just not in that market. We're not in the space like Brighton. Roberto De Zerbi managed to take advantage of Shakhtar Donetsk's situation to go and get a really top manager. We've seen today already, you know, managed to get a really good result at Liverpool, score 3 goals against him. So there's space for someone to come out of relative obscurity and do a good job at Wolves, but we're not going to go looking for that. Like, it's just not going to be the case, is it?
Let me just go back to a topic that regularly gets brought up every error in some WhatsApp groups, is the Connor Cody situation. Bruno Lage decided to let Connor Cody go, made him aware in the pre-season that he was no longer required. But people seem to think that bringing him back would have stopped us getting defeated tonight, or our bad run of form this season being any different. Conor Cowdery is performing well for Everton in the back four, but it was the right decision to make, wasn't it? Or was it?
I think it was. Like, it was. We've just got to believe that it was. Conor Cowdery, for me, he was always defensive. There was always an error in Cowdery whenever he played for Wolves. And I think we need to we needed that bit of revolution this summer. And I know it doesn't look like it now, but I do feel like we needed that, like, you know, with Saez going, Bolly going, Cowdery going, sort of just releasing those championship shackles. It's still a bit of a transition, but it needs to be a new transition with a new manager and not Bruno.
People can point at Conor Cowdery leaving in the summer, but Conor Cowdery was also part of a team that folded at the back end of last season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's part of a team that has shat the bed in numerous other situations.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking of Wembley, thinking of, you know, the Black Country Derby at Molineux, you know, things like that, little situations like that. It's a bit of a red herring for me. Yes, I'm sure there was a lovely atmosphere in the changing rooms all the time because he's a wonderful, wonderful guy, and I'll never ever discount him as a personality and a man. But we will not going to progress as a side until we got rid of Conor Cowdery. People talk about his impact at Everton. Everton were a basket case of a club last season. Absolute shit show. Should have gone down in many ways. Needed someone like Conor Cowdery to come in and help them. It works. It fits. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean because someone's left your club and they've gone on to do well that it's a mistake to let them go. It's not. It's just not, you know, it's not as black and white, and that there's so much more grey to consider when it comes to this kind of stuff. And Nathan Collins' performance, even today, to be honest, I don't think we were bad defensively today. Nobody can tell me that, you know, Conor Cowdery playing in that game stops us losing it. It's not that, you know, clear cut at all. Even Ruben Neves was the best midfielder on the pitch, and he was playing at centre half. And, like, you know, he played well. Max Kilman was all right. He was fine. You can't just draw absolute kind of scenarios like that and suggest, you know, we'd all be in a better situation just because of it. It's bullshit. Stop talking about it.
People are putting Nuno as their profile picture on social media.
Seriously.
Honestly, mate, I swear to God, I've seen a couple.
Ruben Neves after the match: we need to stop talking about performances. We always try to play our best to win, but it is not enough. We need to make sure everyone goes on the same path. It is time to look at ourselves. What we are doing in the Premier League is not enough. If you don't train like you play, you will not be able to win enough games at the weekend. The good thing is we still have time to change this. Everyone, including myself, can give a little bit more. We are not in good form, so something needs to change. He followed on, it's not the manager's responsibility, it is everyone's. We are the ones that can get the results. It is about us, not anybody else. We struggled a bit in the beginning with a lot of new players, a lot of players going out, but no more excuses. I mean, he's saying all the right things as a captain, but surely he's becoming demoralised with the way things are, Gully.
No, naturally, you're going to be, especially when you know he's still pulling out performances. You know, he's become so comfortable at this level now that it is literally like he plays a centre half and he does a job there. You know, even though it's not getting the best out of him, but he's so used to playing at this level. He understands the challenge at every single point in a game of what is required of him. And look, you can't look to Ruben Neves to go and solve our goal scoring problem, though. It's not ever going to be the case that he starts, you know, assisting consistently. He's not always going to be, you know, smashing long ranges in to help us win games and stuff. So as much as he's an unbelievable footballer, he's getting let down by other areas of the team. And you could argue the rest of the defences as well. Yeah, you know, they're not doing a bad job for me, fundamentally.
Looking as the game progressed, obviously being 1-0 down in the first half, you look to that bench: Sarkic, Boubacar Traore, Mosquera, Totti, Conor Ronan, Diego Costa, Adama Traore, Hugo Breno and Kem Campbell. What was your thoughts to the subs that came on, Luke? We'll start with Boubacar Traore.
I thought he did all right. Traore. You know, he looks tidy enough on the ball. It looks like he's going to put himself about. Did no worse than Nunes. Did no worse than Moutinho. He just did all right. You know, nothing amazing.
Was there anything to suggest that he starts over Moutinho for you next game?
Yes, because, well, obviously not next game, but I would like to see a midfield trio, if we're going to play that way, of Traore, Nunes and Neves. I think there's a bit of dynamism to that midfield. It's quite dynamic. To me, that looks like a midfield that can sort of dominate a game. You know, we've got legs in Nunes and Traore. Obviously, you've got Neves breaking up, playing with his passing range. Traore, Nunes. Again, I think even Nunes isn't bad in the tackle, to be fair. I think that would actually be quite a solid midfield three. So I wouldn't mind seeing that at some point this season. Well, Traore, you know, came on for Neto for the injury. And I thought Campbell looked okay as well.
Campbell showed intent, didn't he? And if Bruno Lage is still in charge next week, he'll soon train that out of him. We've got Stephen Walls in the comments section from Facebook saying if Lage wanted rid of Cody, he should have signed two top centre halves. Most of Lage's signings this season have been shocking, and that includes Nathan Collins, who is a cart horse. What's your thoughts on that, Gully?
He's a wind-up merchant, Stephen Wiles. No, I'm not having any of that, to be honest.
His second comment was, Boubacar Traore does not look good, another headless chicken.
Oh, for God's sake. Let's not pay any mind to that, please, Dan, if you don't mind.
Everyone's opinion's welcome in here. We're here to dissect it. There is people saying, would any of you take Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
Nah. I think his Cardiff spell tells you a lot, doesn't it? he absolutely bottled that. And I think there were some dodgy agent dealings going on there as well. He brought in a load of Scandinavian players to the club, and it all went sideways. But going back to Traore, though, I think the bottom line is Moutinho isn't offering anything that Traore wouldn't. And I think Traore has more legs, bottom line, and will be able to get about the pitch and press people in a much better way. I'd actually fundamentally still go with the two-man midfield and the number 10 in front of them, though. That's the way I think we should be playing. But if we do go with the three, you need that extra bit of mobility. And Moutinho's just not... He worked perfectly well in that Nuno shape, but now he's not contributing enough at all.
If you're one of the 75 live viewers, join us tonight. As I said earlier, if you want Bruno Lage to be sacked, drop a like in the bottom left. If you want him to stay, drop a Lage in the comment section. And if you just want to enjoy life, if you don't want to enjoy life, just drop me a like in the bottom left-hand screen. One of the comments that I saw on Twitter a few moments ago was... just two wins in 17 Premier League games for Wolves since the collapse at home to Leeds. Only 11 points and 10 goals scored in that time. One of the biggest things that was loud and proud from the away support tonight was chance of you don't know what you're doing. Even if we were to get a good result at Chelsea next week, is too far gone now, isn't it? I'm trying to bring some sort of happy clapper mentality back into the conversation, but
he's got to win his next three if by any chance he survives.
We've been live for nearly 45 minutes now, and I'm still shocked that Wolves haven't announced that he's been sacked.
If anyone recalls the last Graham Potter versus Bruno Lage fixture, we're in trouble at the weekend, because that was the last time I properly thought, wow, this is, you know, an absolute travesty, this performance. But yeah.
Ziad in the comment section, as a United fan, Lage needs to go, not getting the best out of what you got. And that's pretty much what it all comes down to, isn't it? You look at that squad, it's the best squad that we've ever seen in our lifetime. and we're not creating chances. Defensively, I still think we're okay. But I just feel like the forward players that we've got within our squad just aren't pulling up enough trees. And I feel like that's what's cost Nuno and is going to cost Bruno his job in the end.
I agree. I mean, I think you look at our goal scoring record since we've entered the Premier League 4 or 5 seasons ago. It's embarrassing. How many Premier League games we've played now? Say 160 odd. And I bet you we haven't scored more than 170 goals.
It went with Diogo Jota, let's be fair. The goal scoring, it left at that point. There's not even an answer for it otherwise, I don't think.
Maybe. I don't think it's as simple as that, though, good. I just feel like, I mentioned them earlier, Hwang, Adama, Trinco, Podence, Guedes. They're not the type of players to hit double figures, are they? No. I'm not buying into Guedes hitting 11 for Valencia when we all know the flipping La Ligas are poxy Ligas anyway.
It is. It's getting there now. Yeah, you're right. But then, well, I guess the way I'm framing the point is it's not that just Diogo Jota was the reason we were scoring goals from him specifically. It wasn't just him banging in. You know, banging goals in every week. He got the best out of Raul Jimenez. The way he dragged us up the pitch consistently, you know, meant we were a better team on the counter-attack as well. I think if you see us counter-attacking these days, you know, there'll be open space in front of us and we'll get to a point and it's like people look left and right It's like you see it all the time now, don't you? There's no directness. There's just a point at which we, like, you know, the proverbial centre half crossing the halfway line gets a nosebleed, but this is our forwards crossing, you know, the into the final third and getting a nosebleed. It's really bad, isn't it? Yeah.
I do think Raul's injury plays a lot to it as well, though.
It does.
I do think that plays a lot to it because obviously we lost him at a time where we literally just had Silva, didn't we? Who was about 11 and a half years old at the time.
But then he had an opportunity to play Silva last season when Raul had the suspension, and he did well, and then he dropped him, and that for me was really, I think it was incredibly harsh of him, because Silva was looking good at that point, and if he has a run to the end of the season, maybe he starts a season at the club, and it's a different story for us. But while he's at Anderlecht, leave him. I don't want to see him get recalled.
Oh. As you can see, I've decided to share the latest Twitter post that's involving the hashtag WWFC. Adam Rumor, imagine being an American today and getting up early or whatever time it is to watch that performance in New York. Nice little photo there with a good group of Wolves fans in New York who decided
to... My mum and dad are in San Fran at the moment, and I think they were up, well, even earlier than East Coast, obviously. So, yeah, I'm sure they loved it.
I mean, Daz Reeves there, Angelos Postecoglou, the Celtic manager. What would you be your thoughts on that?
He played better football. Like, fundamentally, that's what we want to see. So, and he's got better players to do it with. So,
squad's there. I reckon if you put a poll out now, Bruno in or Bruno out, it would be
100%. I think it'd be...
Obviously, if you discount, is it Albion fans and that?
Yeah, exactly. Like 70%.
You get ambushed by a load of other fans of other teams, isn't you?
I think I just saw a post earlier that said Bruno Lage is currently favourite to be the next manager to be sacked. He was 8-11 with Sky Bet when I looked just. I apologise if anything comes across as graphic or really uncouth while I scroll through these Twitter posts. I mean, people talking about Pochettino or Thomas Tuchel, it's just stop smoking spice.
No, I think he's admitted it's very unlikely, to be fair to him. Martino, player manager.
I scratched the player out of it after appointing him.
To be fair, I've made the comment before that it felt at times that Martino was having a bit too much of a say, but I don't think he's even got his coaching badges, has he? I don't think he's even legally possible for him to take over his play?
Paul Ince doing a decent job at Reading.
Oh, God. I'm missing Strictly Come Dancing for this, Luke.
Won again today, mate.
Does Bully ever get back into the betting on new manager at Wolves? Like, I'm sure he put his name popped up somewhere, didn't it last time?
Former Frank Castrian, Ben Husband, not expecting anything tonight. Bruno Roids another day.
Yeah, I can't see it being tonight. I think it'll be one of those Monday afternoon things.
I just feel like the longer they ponder over it, the longer he's got in charge. I feel if he's not gone by sort of early tomorrow morning, it all depends on whether them travelling back tonight or in the morning, isn't it? Sometimes they stay over it if it's London, don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Jeff Shee's gone completely missing, hasn't he, since Chairman Grow turned up?
It's true, actually. You don't see him. You don't hear from him.
You don't see him. I think the last time I saw him properly was the Geddes unveil video.
Did he do the Costa one? Was he involved in the Costa one? No,
okay. Wasn't involved in that. I'm not sure whether there was a photo of him released with Boubacar Traore when he signed. There were rumours that he was on his way out, but nothing's official's come out. But he has been missing for quite a while, hasn't he? Everything just seems to be about John Percy saying that Bruno Lage's job is under threat.
Yeah, I'm your mate's trending. Dosh.
I just...
That's Stu consistently tweeting about him. That's it. Freaking Stu. All right. Him freaking ball club backing each other up. That's what it is. Jesus. Honestly.
Here he is in the comments section, coming at you live from Wensfield British Legion after 12 points. Get Dosh in.
12 points being the key point in that sentence. 12 points down and he's still talking shite. Jesus.
Dawn shite, it should be called.
It's it is worth reiterating. We're not a bad team. And we're on a terrible run with a manager who is unable to arrest the slide, and therefore we need to get a new manager in. I still don't think we're a bad team. I think in all areas apart from the scoreline, we were a better team than West Ham today.
I had people calling me out at halftime gully when I tweeted saying I didn't think the first half was atrocious, and I felt Diego Costa could change that game. And I feel like there was glimpses in that second half where we got into good areas. The cross from Adama Traore, which Costa headed wide, there would have been probably another 15, 20 minutes if that had gone into to salvage a point. But we didn't deserve the point because we're so pragmatic, aren't we, in our attacking play?
But there are sections of the fan base that don't want to see good things now. That's the bottom line. You know, people will literally...
I feel that's down to Bruno Lage and the bond that he's never built.
I'm not saying they're wrong for saying that you know, it's terrible and we need a new manager. But what I'm saying is, don't just watch the game and think it's the worst game of football I've ever seen. We're one of the worst teams in the Premier League, all this kind of stuff, because it's not objectively true. You know, whilst we are on a bad run and we're not winning games and stuff like that, it's all fine margins. I still think the West Ham goals were relatively lucky today, the way they landed at the feet of Bowen and Scamacca, and they were clinical. Like, they took them really, really well. But the most worrying sign for me was that home team today, 2-0 up, need a win. The ground went really quiet, didn't it? If you noticed on TV. And we're dominating the play. There's no nerves. It didn't feel like the crowd was nervous either. You know, we're keeping the ball. We've got the ball around the penalty area. Costa nods one past the post. There was just no atmosphere that made me feel like West Ham were worried about us. You know, is this the way people perceive us now? They're just like, oh, it's just Wolves. They'll do their nice, pretty thing,
that's the way it looked like. They were happy for us to play in front of them, weren't they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're 2-0 goals up against Wolves, I don't see why any reason to be worried at this moment in time. And that could be if you're top of the league or bottom of the league.
I don't think 1-0 is a scoreline to be afraid of at the moment, because I still feel that we're always more likely to concede another before we score one.
Yeah.
And then the one question on Twitter here is, tell me three worst teams in the league other than Wolves at the moment.
Forest and Leicester, 100% away. I still think West Ham will
win. Leicester will not be in a relegation battle come January.
Do you not think? I think they're in trouble.
They'll sack him soon, and a new manager will bring them back to where they need to be.
They can't afford to sack him, apparently, financially. That's the kind of word on the street. But
I think they're in trouble, and they'll probably lose more in January as well.
I think West Ham,
you look at Leicester, though, they've still got goals in the team.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Maddison, Harvey Barnes, Jamie Vardy, they've still got goals in that team. It's just whether they can stop shipping him out. That's the main thing, because Danny Ward seems to be throwing him in every week by the sounds of it.
Yeah, going back to the point, yes, there are three worst teams, and it's Bournemouth are shit, yeah. Forest are shit, Leicester are shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're not.
I still don't think Southampton are actually better than us.
Yeah, Southampton aren't a good team. They're not.
Villa ain't better than us.
No, they're not. It's just we need a bit of a change to get us back on track. That's it.
That is literally it. It really is. Because, like, again, today's performance, and, you know, you look at the losses against, like, Tottenham, it's not like we was absolutely terrible and completely outplayed for 75% of the game. It's just we are lacking anything in the final third to the point where it's embarrassingly pathetic. And that is what's letting this team down ultimately. I don't think Bruno's got the know-how or the personality to turn this around. I mentioned it on a podcast back end of last season. Bruno isn't big enough for this job. I think Wolves are bigger than Bruno. Whereas really, with this squad, we need a manager who's bigger than Wolves.
Yeah, you've got to remember, he was just assistant manager for Carlos Carvajal at Sheffield Wednesday. He might just fall into that category of a good coach, poor manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he rode the crest of a wave at Benfica that got him a title, and that was it, yeah.
And at Benfica, he struggled to turn the tide, and we're in the same situation there where it's, what, two wins in 15.
It's not good enough, is it?
If it wasn't spread over the two seasons...
We'd be fucked.
He'd have to go. And the reason for me... While I'm going to end this show saying Bruno Lage out is a new manager needs to have Chelsea as a bit of a free hit, knowing that we've got Forest at home the next time game, and we need those. We can't afford to lose Nottingham Forest at the moment.
And you know what a new manager would do that first home game back is get the fans back on side a little bit.
Yeah.
And you've got an extra two, 3 weeks of getting Diego Costa a bit more fit.
Yeah, and then is the run after Chelsea something like Forest, Leicester, Brentford?
We've got Crystal Palace,
haven't we?
But I think we've got a run of about four or five up until, do we play somebody like Liverpool beginning of November? But I think we've got four or five games before we play like a big six, where a new manager, if we do allow Chelsea's the free hit, to build up a bit of momentum.
What we can't afford that Forest game to be toxic though, because the players will fold. No. They will fold.
I mean, that's my biggest fear at the moment. We can't go into that game with Bruno Lage still in charge, because that will be the game that ends him. I know there's Forest fans on Twitter every day. They're looking to come to Molineux, and it's like one of them games where an away ticket for a Forest fan that day is like it's gold dust at the moment. Yeah. All Forest fans are trying to get a ticket for that game because they fancy it. That they fancy it to beat us that day. We can't go into that game. We can't go into the game. They're going to fill out all that bottom tier. Mm-hmm. We can't go into that game with Bruno Lage in charge because it's going to end in disaster. Still haven't seen a toxic Wolves crowd. They missed it during the pandemic when we got beat by the Albion. And they only saw like probably 10% of it when we got beat by Brighton last season.
Yeah.
I think you've banged on the money there. You know, if we get to Forest having lost to Chelsea, Bruno still in charge, and that first 15-20 minutes we're not looking like breaking them down or scoring, or, you know, we've allowed them a couple of opportunities, like when that season when we played Huddersfield, Watford and all the other shit, and they used to come and be 2-0 up within the first half hour. Imagine if that happened against Forest and he's still in charge after a loss to Chelsea. He'd need a police escort out the ground.
I think we're all just praying for a respectable performance against Chelsea now, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, but I think even if Bruno was sacked and Chelsea turn us over 2-3-0, it's a lot easier to take because we know change is coming. And I think that's all we're asking for now, or needing or wanting as a fan base, is that change to come, because it's got to. You know, I'm not a massive fan of just sacking your managers left, right and centre, but where can you defend Bruno now? If anyone is sort of Bruno-ing or still a bit 50-50, like, where is the defence? I don't think there is any. I think even Bruno himself, I don't even think he could defend himself in this position at the minute.
He killed himself when he said, we're a better team with a striker in it, and then didn't decide to start one.
So. It just goes back to it. What you said, surely he could have just started him. If you can get 45 out of him, fine. We'll all accept that. We know he's been out of... He's not anywhere near peak condition. If you can get an air out of him, brilliant. Let's just build his minutes up. But at least with a striker on the pitch, you know you're going to try... proved tonight. We created chances with him on the pitch.
At nil-nil.
And then you back yourself to defend, because over the past 18 months, we've defended well.
Yeah.
It's just you have to... Maybe he's overthinking things. I don't know. I've lost trust in him. You two have lost trust in him. Thanks for everyone that's joined us tonight. We're all in a Bruno Lage out mindset. Hopefully we'll be back middle of the week to preview the Chelsea fixture. Thanks for joining us tonight. Drop a quick like in the bottom left before you leave, and try and enjoy the rest of your evening. Good night, folks.
Cheers.